Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So excited to serve you today. And on behalf of Ramsey Solutions, we are so thankful that you are tuning in. I am ridiculously excited today because last night I went to my first Financial Peace University class in a very long time, just as an attendee. Just sat in there with my wife, and I'm telling you, folks, it was awesome. Of course, I speak on this stuff every day, but I wanted to make sure I got in there and I got into a class. And I, again, almost for the first time, remembered what it's like to be in the class, what it's like to go through the workbook, what it's like to watch the videos in a classroom setting, but in a discussion format. So good. We really enjoyed it. And I actually read an article recently from MarketWatch.com that just reminded me once again why this content is so important. This research came out again. MarketWatch.com was where the article was. 63% of Americans can't deal with a $500 emergency. 63%. That has nothing to do with not having any money or not having a job. It's just that's the financial position that they're in. I'm telling you, folks, don't let this be you. That's the reason why we have this radio show. It's the reason why we have those of you who are listening in on the podcast. We want to serve you in this area. As you get your finances in order for 2016, now's the time for you, not just me, but for you to sign up for a Financial Peace University class. It's the plan. It's the plan that you need this year. So head over to stewardship.com for all of those details. Now, I do want to tell you before we get started today that I'm speaking at an event with Dave Ramsey on April 21st. That's April 21st. It's called a Smart Money event. It's in the evenings, and it's at in D.C., Washington, D.C., at Constitutional Hall. And I don't know if you are close to there. I know our D.C. station, that you guys are right there. I want to encourage you. We've already had 1,500 tickets sold, and I want you guys to make sure that you know about it, that this community, Chris Brown's True Stewardship, this community that's listening in, that you guys have access to those tickets. It's already 50% sold out. We're 4 months away still, three or four months away, and I want you to know about it. So just go to stewardship.com and find out more about that event. Again, it's April 21st, me and Dave Ramsey talking about money and talking about how your 2016 can be different. Again, April 21st, Washington, D.C., Constitutional Hall. Now, we are here on January 20th, and my wife and I have been doing the Daniel Fast. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but pretty much just a real big sacrifice when it comes to our dietary intake. And I don't have time to really break down the Daniel Fast, but it's been a big sacrifice for us. And, you know, I've got some learnings. And here I am on day 20, and I'm going to do this every January. It's a great time to just cleanse my mind. And what I've learned is, we eat a lot as Americans. Those of us in America, we just flat out eat a lot. We just do. That's probably my number one observation. I know it's not very spiritual, or maybe it is spiritual, depending on how you look at it. And I know some of you are listening from other countries as well. But man, here in America, we eat a lot. And I've realized that my body doesn't need that much food per sitting and doesn't need that much food per day. So I've learned to be content. It's also given me a tremendous amount of mental clarity and spiritual clarity and focus. And so if you haven't done some kind of fast like that, I really want to recommend, suggest you do that. Doesn't have to be 21 days, but really fast. It'll really help you spiritually. I know it will. So we're ready for your calls here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship Show. It's number's 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. You can also email me your questions at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Now, as you're calling in, I want to ask you, How are your resolutions doing? Are you still kicking tail? Are you getting it done? Are you starting to waver a little bit? I can help you. I can help you with one resolution that maybe you've made. I don't want to spend any money on credit cards anymore. Here, I can help you. I can help you have a 100% effectiveness on that resolution right now. Guess what you do? Cut them all up. Cut them up, throw them away, and I guarantee you, you won't use them. There's actually an article that just came out that talks about the world record for the amount of credit cards that one person has. Valid, open credit cards. I bet you can't guess how much that is. How much is it? You think it's 10, 20, 100? How many? I will tell you at the end of the show. Our first call is coming in from Charlotte, North Carolina. This is Craig. Craig, you're on the True Stewardship Show. How can I help you?
I had a quick question. I was wondering about basically doing a HELOC or equity line of credit. My wife and I, we have a newborn. We're about 45,000 in credit card debt, student loans. So it was just really inquiring about should we pursue doing a HELOC or equity line of credit to basically pay off that debt to get us at zero.
Well, just listening to your terminology is the reason why I would say I don't like the idea, because there is a facade that you've taken care of debt, but you haven't. You've moved it. And I'm afraid that if you move this in with your house, that that it's going to be out of sight, out of mind, and you're going to end up paying more and more interest on this, and it's going to hang around for a lot longer because it's not applying a healthy pressure on you. Of course, too much pressure is, you know, it could be harmful, but I hear a pretty stable voice on the other end of the line right now, and it sounds like it's a healthy pressure. Tell me a little bit about your house. What is your current value, and how much do you owe?
The current value is probably about 120. We probably owe right at probably about one, probably at 107.
Okay. And do you have any savings?
No, we are tapped out. We did a wedding and it kind of, we went a little bit over budget. We had a savings of about 10 grand, thus some of the credit card debt because we went over our budget for the wedding, and that kind of contributed to some of the credit card debt.
Yeah. Are you currently investing at all?
Just 401ks. My wife and I, we are both currently in 401ks. That's about it.
Okay. And what's your income?
Total house income is about $110,000 for total.
All right. Okay. So here's what I would do. I would recommend you stop investing immediately. Temporarily put that on pause. And if you're living on 110, I would downsize your lifestyle so that you can pay off 45,000 in less than a year. And your lifestyle, just punch it out, less than a year. You can do this. So you're going to live a $65,000 lifestyle. And you can do that because your housing is so inexpensive. You've got a pretty decent, your house payment's probably only about a grand, right? $900 maybe?
It's less than that. When we first got the house, it's $700.
Yeah. So there's no reason why you can't punch this out in 9 to 12 months. So please do not put that into your house and just punch this thing out. Show this thing who's boss. The Bible says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. So visualize what that looks like. Proverbs 6:5, what it looks like for a gazelle to run from the hand of the hunter. Do you have the Total Money Makeover book?
I do not. No, sir. Not yet. Recently, a friend of mine from my job referred me to you guys and your radio station. I've been listening probably within the last 2 weeks. So, I do not yet.
Well, Craig, because you're from Charlotte, and a big part of my heart is from Charlotte. That's one of my hometowns. I've lived there for over 8 years. Love it. And I love the Panthers. I'm going to give you Total Money Makeover. So,
thank you, man.
Yeah, stay on the line. Amanda's going to pick up, get your address, and we're going to send you the Total Money Makeover. All right, next up, calling in from Orlando, this is Claudie. Claudie, how you doing?
Hi there. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, unfortunately, 3 months ago, my mother passed. And so as a Christian, I'm questioning if I should pursue litigation. The story goes like this. There's three daughters, one of which I am the middle. My youngest sister is the one who became my mother's caretaker about 3 years ago. And Mom sold her house and bought a bigger house so that they could all live together.
Mm-hmm.
We are concerned, now that Mom has passed, that there may be some problems with the use of funds and the way things are being handled. My younger sister is the personal representative of the will and trustee of the trust. And there's been a few issues. Initially, when this was all written up, my younger sister, as the caretaker, and because she would be living in the house, was going to be given the house, and the other two of us would split what was left. The will has since been, or the trust has since been changed, and it was actually changed while my mother was sick. She was on morphine. She was in a lot of pain, numerous other drugs. Both would be administered either by my younger sister who was caring for her, or sometimes the medicine would be left on the side of the bed for self-administration.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concern is, since the will has been changed, and now it reads that my younger sister gets the house and 60% of everything that is left. So in a nutshell, she inherits approximately $1 million. And my older sister and myself would get about $100,000.
Okay.
Now, my concern is that it seems as if my younger sister, Mom's caretaker, thinks that she gets everything and all of Mom's possessions, and she's been giving things away. And
yeah.
Just kind of been free with things. And my older sister is actually the reason my mother even had money. My father passed of mesothelioma. My older sister pursued all the paperwork and things that had to be filled out.
Right.
And that afforded my mother a rather nice lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, of course, the money left over now, unfortunately, the person who helped get that isn't benefiting. The saddest part is that my older sister is a widow.
Mm.
She's ailing. And she really could use more help. And so do I, as a Christian, is it better for me to just let this go? I mean, there's going to be family division no matter what, but I want Jesus to be seen here.
Let me remove some of the peripheral for you from a third party standpoint and just tell you legally what's going to matter here. Of course, you've got relationally, you've got financially, and you got legally, but legally is really where we're at here. You got some major components. You did have a will in place. That's one. But you had a will that was possibly changed when she wasn't in the right state of mind. That will hold up in court. So that is worth talking about. Now, the whole Christian thing, whether I would remove from your mindset that you're going to be fighting this. It's not a fight. It's not try to get a little bit less combative. And you've done a good job articulating this. Not super combative, but I'm talking about your emotions. Just calm down a little bit. You're really looking for, think through Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. You're going to get much further, faster, by just going through this, just seeking what Mom would want. Seeking what Mom would want. Not mm-hmm. she got versus I got versus my older sister got. No, it's more of what did Mom really want? So if you go from that standpoint where you want to honor your mother with her wishes being done, with a soft answer, and you're just seeking justice, not in a passive-aggressive way, okay? But you had said that division is going to rise up. I would disagree. Division's already there. You're just going to bring it to light. And really, by confronting this and bringing it to light, you're actually going to help resolve the tension ultimately. It might have to get worse before it gets better. But going the route that you guys are going now and not doing anything about it, you're going to have tension the rest of your lives anyway. Because you're going to be either A, passive-aggressive and never bring it up, or B, you're going to be rude to her. You're going to have tension. So I have no problems at all with you seeking what your mom really wanted. I wouldn't challenge any foul motives, any like she tried to do this, or I wouldn't go after her motives. I would just go after the facts. So remove the emotions, which is very hard to do, very easy for me to say as a third party, but I think that's what you're calling in for, a third party's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Remove the emotions, and you're just trying to find out what mom really wanted. I think that'll get you there. But I have no problems. I really do think, based on what you've told me, there very well could have been an adjustment made when she was not in the right frame of mind. So I would go after this. What mom really wanted, not fight, not litigation, none of those legal terms. You're just trying to find out what mom really wanted.
I think she may have changed the will, thinking that she would get more quality help, and you know that her care would be better because she really didn't get optimal care.
Right. Well, I think, you know, that would be a secondary conversation, but I think primary, you're going to find out what does she really want. And then if you feel like there's some kind of civil issues on top of that, I think that's another conversation. I think if you go after that one where she didn't get the right care and it was your sister's fault, I don't think that one's ever going to be resolved. I think that one's going to be a tough one to overcome, but I might be wrong.
No, but I think that's possibly why, you know, to kind of make the peace, that my mom would have made the changes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's going to be all on who gets on the stand. It's going to be the professionals that come on the stand talking about her condition. It won't be your opinion. It won't be your sister's opinion. It'll be the clinical representation that's on there. And you got to ask yourself, do you want to go after this? Is it worth the money investment to do this? So,
well, that's just it. I'm not a fighter, mm-hmm. and you know, but I want. I mean, I'm concerned about my older sister. I mean, she is a widow. The Bible clearly tells us that we are to care for the widows. And I'm looking at what's right because I know she can't do anything. She can't fight this. She can't follow, you know, anything in this case.
Yeah, I will say this. I've had a similar situation, very similar, actually, in my family with my father. And I chose to not fight it. And I have found out that years later now, I have seen some behavior in the other parties that has showed me that they're under conviction, and I'm now starting to get some random gifts and, you know, those kind of things. So anyway, you just got to ask yourself, you know, revenge is the Lord's, he says. So some of it is a faith component where you got to let God do the fight for you, but also he wants you to use your mind and use he puts the government in place for us. So it's, you know, it's up to you whether you want to fight it or not. But I do think, based on what you've told me, there's a little bit of a case there.
I feel like I'm walking the tightrope.
Yeah, well, I feel like you've got a good head on your shoulders, and you're seeing it from both sides, and you're very level-headed about this. And I think just seek God on this, and he'll point you in the right direction. But just remember, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. And if you go that route, lead with honey, not with vinegar, okay?
I appreciate that.
All right, thank you. Oh, man, those are tough things. I mean, this is life, right? Life has those kind of tensions, and I definitely feel for Claudia. That's a tough situation. Folks, I told you, you can call in or you can email in. This email comes in from Linda. Hello, Chris. I called into your show earlier this month because I was having trouble making a decision about purchasing a car. Thank you so much for your advice. Thanks to you, I'm now saving up for a beater instead of financing a car. I hope to purchase a car paid in full with cash in the spring and start a second job soon after that. Thank you for sending me the Total Money Makeover book. It's game on now. Thank you so much for emailing in, Linda. That's pretty cool. We're cheering you on. Well, folks, you hear me talking about Financial Peace University quite a bit. As you start dreaming for 2016, what do you want to accomplish? Do you have the finances to do that? Is a lack of savings or debt holding you back? This is your year to get control. You need a plan, and that plan is Financial Peace University. I know Holly and I are enrolled in class once again after almost a decade. We're getting right back in that class and getting some great refreshers straight from the source, sitting in those classes just like y'all. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed. Maybe Christmas bills are starting to pile up. You don't know how to pay off your debt or stop your spending habits. The biblically based money principles of Financial Peace University are practical and will allow you to get out of debt, save for the future, and give like no one else. And no matter where you are, 2016 is the year to get your finances in order. Go to stewardship.com to find out more information and to enroll in a class today.
If you'd like to speak with Chris, let us know in your email or call us. You can email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Got another email here from Megan. Says, hey, Chris, I'm a new Christian and tithing keeps coming up while I'm working on baby step number two. I know the Bible says to tithe, but it feels like an obligation. I know it sounds awful calling it an obligation, but how can I turn this feeling into gratitude? Well, Megan, the first thing I'd say is this is very normal. Okay, so here's what I would do. I would write out all the things that you're grateful for. Write them down. Physically write them down on a piece of paper. I wouldn't even type them. I'd handwrite them. You know the thing that we used to do? Handwrite things? Yeah, I would do that. Then ask, how? How is that thing that I'm grateful for? How did it get there? How did that happen? Why did it happen? Trace all those blessings back to their origin. And then pray over your check as you write it. Pray over it as you give it. And then keep track of his blessings. Every one of them, write them down. And if you need to, borrow other people's faith until you have faith in this area. But don't hold off on doing this. It is a huge discipleship activity, a huge discipleship opportunity for you to grow closer to God. So please don't miss out on that. Well, this next call comes in from Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Anthony.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How can I serve you?
Well, I was all set up to do term life for me and my wife for 30 years.
Yeah.
I was at a party New Year's Eve, and somebody is trying to sell me on Universal Life Insurance product, a retiring America.
Yeah, but here...
Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, well, here's the deal, Anthony. It's New Year's Eve. Everyone's kind of feeling a little fuzzy. You don't need that, man. You don't need that. You don't need ICU insurance, okay?
Really?
No, you don't. You know, you've got insurances for everything, and the bottom line is it comes down to your tolerance of risk. If you're not careful, you can have like 27 insurances, and you can have insurances for walking across the street insurance. And drinking out of a water bottle insurance. I just don't think you need all those. So if you want to get one, that's fine. But I personally don't have one. I don't feel a need for one. If you have a good health insurance policy, you're going to be covered regardless. But if
it put up the red flags, because when I was looking it up online on the ICU insurance, I couldn't find anything on it.
Yeah, exactly. Ding, ding, ding.
And I was like, well, if anybody knows, Dave and Chris know, and all them guys know, and you know, so I'm like, let me give you guys a call and find out.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan, man. ICU insurance, I'm not telling you it's a bad thing. I'm just telling you it's not a good thing. Insurance is insurance, but, man, it's probably somebody who wants commission, and they're not focused on customer service. This is why I push everyone to our endorsed local providers, because they're concerned about customer service and teaching you things, not about getting a commission. So nothing against that person. He's trying to make a living, but I don't think you need it.
All right, man. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. Well, folks, if you've heard something today that you want to go deeper on, then now is the time to sign up for Financial Peace University class. The lessons will help you get a plan for your money here in 2016. All the details are at stewardship.com. For you podcast listeners, take a moment and please give us a review. Many of you have asked, how can we donate or how can we support the show? That's it. That's it. Going to the website, buying products for other people, going to events and writing reviews and subscribing. That's how you support the show, not sending in donations. So thank you all. You're emailing in, asking how you can donate. We don't need that. We're serving you. We just want you to get the word out for us. So thank you so much for your heart to support the show. But really what we need is for you to get the word out there, because this message is that important. Now, earlier in the episode, I told you I was going to tell you the Guinness Book of World Records, the amount of credit cards that somebody has. Valid open credit cards. Have you guessed it? Those of you who tuned in halfway through the show, I'm going to give you a chance. What's your guess? 100? 200? 450? No. The world record for the amount of valid credit cards open is 1,497 credit cards. Folks, is that absolutely nuts or what? 1,497. Yeah, look it up. Absolutely nuts. It has been a pleasure to serve you today. Of course, take advantage of stewardship.com. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.